Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. I'm Jim Kress, and on behalf of our host, Dr. Tim Clinton, and his son, Zach, thank you for making us a part of your day. We appreciate your time and your support for what we do to help you grow better relationships and a deeper faith. We want to be your daily encouragement to help you help others. For your life, your love, your faith, and your family. If you like what you hear, tell a friend, won't you? And join us on social media for more fresh content. Just go to timclinton.com to find out more. And now, let's join our host, president of the AACC, licensed professional counselor and marriage and family therapist, Dr. Tim Clinton.
Welcome back to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'll be your host. On behalf of my co-host and son, Zach Clinton, we want to say thank you for making us a part of your day. Today, we bring you the balance of an excellent conversation that I had with a good friend backstage at a recent Men's Ignite conference where 5,000 men gathered for fellowship, praise, worship, teaching, and by the way, a lot of fun. This gentleman ministered to the guys with relatable stories from the gridiron. They call him Coach. From the pulpit and the field, Tom Mullins, pastor, Florida high school coaching legend. What a delight. Let's jump right back into the backstage conversation with Tom as he unpacks his ministry, A Place of Hope.
God is at work. He's doing something that I think people don't even realize. And there's stirring. There's fire that's starting to happen. And Coach, in the midst of it, you, as you guys built your ministry, you and your wife Donna and more, you started Equip. You teamed up with John Maxwell, so many other people. You started A Place of Hope. Yes. Coach, tell us a little bit about that because you care for people who are down and out. Care for people who are broken.
You know, my wife got the revelation because we were supporting children's homes around the world. And she said, honey, they're hurting people right in our own backyard. What are we doing for them? So we birthed Place of Hope over 20 plus years ago. Tim, we've touched now over 30,000 children in our region through our Place of Hope ministry. Really? We have residential care. We bring children in the foster system into a family unit group, six to a home, full-time living parents. And we have now like five campuses throughout our region. And we have a home for young women who find themselves pregnant and they don't know where to turn. Well, we have a home for them where they can come and give birth to their babies. Matter of fact, this past Sunday, we had a dedication of like five of our babies from our home for our mothers. And then we're helping young people who graduate out of foster care. What do they do? Now they're 18, they're out of the foster care system. Well, we have a system for them now to move into, and we help them go to school, get a job, fill out resumes, and learn how to live as an independent. And we do the same thing with these young single moms. We transition them from our home where they're giving birth to their daughters or sons, and then move them into apartments where they learn how to live independently, get a job, take care of their family. So we're trying to cover it from birth all the way up into the mid-20s. And it's a phenomenal ministry, and it's so needed. And we're so rewarded in this. This is my wife's vision, Donna, to really do this. And I've just got behind her and helped her get going. And God has blessed it tremendously.
That's what James talked about when he said, that's pure religion. Really about their getting out and being the hands and feet of Jesus everywhere we go.
And it's expanded our influence in the community. And we're working with homeless vets in our community. We're doing a lot. We really have taken the opportunity to really reach people in our region. So everywhere from working with municipalities, police forces, fire stations, hospitals, to the homeless, we're mobilizing an army in our region of care and assistance. We want our cities to know we are their go-to team. Whenever there's a need in that city, we're ready to step up and be there to assist our city in touching people with the love and message of hope of Jesus.
Tom, I've always appreciated how strong your commitment is, your resolve. And I think that probably goes back to some of that coaching days. Hey, we're here to get it done.
Got to.
That's what it's all about. Truth and love.
That's it.
Coach Mullins, you know, my dad pastored for almost 60 years in the hills of central Pennsylvania, old circuit riding preacher. And one of the things he would always say is, keep on keeping on.
Come on.
Keep it going until the clouds break and the shadows flee away. Keep on coming.
That's right.
Keep on coming. That's what he put in us. Keep on coming. Tim, don't ever stop. Keep on coming.
That's it.
And keep yourself anchored in him. Meaning in Christ,
right.
Because that's our hope. That's our strength. Coach, you know, reflecting back, do you think sports gave you a voice, a sense of being, identity, or what have you?
Oh, unbelievable. So, I mean, it opened up so many new avenues for me. It not only opened up for me to get a higher education, to have an opportunity to play at a college level. I flew in my first airplane on a trip, you know. I mean, you got to realize, Tim, I grew up a very humble kid in the country, and I was in the sixth grade before we had an indoor toilet. Yeah. We had a path called an outhouse. Hello. Now I'm traveling with teams. My world's being broadened, and I'm being introduced to people at all different levels. So it helped shape me as a person, and I think better prepare me to be an effective witness for our Lord and Savior.
Coach, along those lines, you know, I think about your career, how God has led you through all of that. What was the impetus behind all of it?
You know, being a player, you always want to play at the next level. And then, you know, I remember we had a Dallas Cowboy pro scout come to practice, and he timed us all, and we did strength measurements. And there was a while I thought I might have a chance to play at the next level. I received such a severe knee injury, it really changed my career path. I don't know if I would ever made it on the pro level or not, but everybody wants to believe they could have done that.
You sure?
But I knew if I wasn't going to play, I'm going to coach because I love the game. I love the interaction. I love the dynamics of it all. And then my college coach gave me a graduate assistantship to work on my master's and coach the team. So I had the privilege to coach. And after that year of coaching, I said, this is my calling. This is what I want to do the rest of my life. I want to coach because I love my coaches and I love what the value they brought to me. And I knew I could add value to the young men and help call the very best out in them. Calling the champion out in others is one of the most rewarding, fulfilling aspects of life. And that's what coaches do. And that's what I wanted to do.
You know, no wonder Billy Graham made that quote. A coach will influence probably more people in a year than most people do in their entire lifetime. And coach, I'll add this for good or bad. You know, that it really matters how you're anchored as a coach and the gift that you give to the players around you, what it's all about.
Exactly. And I've had the opportunity to influence a lot of my young men, lead a lot of them into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and try to always uphold that standard with them and let them know that their gifts and abilities came from God. And now they're using them to bring honor to him. And I still coached even in the high schools back in the day when my principal was a believer. So I was never given a hard time over praying with my team, very open about our testimonies. And so we've always tried to give God the honor in everything. But coaching laid the format for my life. I am so thankful for the coaches I've had and the coaches I've coached with. And that's why they still call me coach today.
I know. It's amazing. Something tells me that you probably could get those kids to run through a brick wall.
Well, I learned I had to run through it with them. So if you run through it with them, they'll run through it with you, baby. That's for sure.
Coach, I know this in life, a lot of counseling we do, and I think it applies to sports, athletic competition as a coach, that you have to be attuned. There's a word we call it attunement. In other words, you have to dial into the uniqueness of that player in front of you. Coach, that's critical, isn't it? Because you have one coaching style. Some may not gravitate to it. They're wired up differently, and they can get lost in that shuffle. But that ability to speak directly into that, have you had to put your hands or your arms around some kids through the years?
I think the great coaches had an intuitive ability to read the player's needs and how they were motivated. And you have a general motivational structure you do with your team, but to bring out the best in each individual, you've got to know that player. You got to understand their family dynamic, where they came out of, what motivates. And you can almost tell and read them on how they respond. Yeah. There were some players I knew, they don't get the best out of them. I had to grab them by the face mask and pull them in close and get them, come on, man. And others, I pull them aside, put my arm around them, and talk to them in a very soft voice. Yeah. About what's going on, what can I do, how can I help you, you know. But the big thing is, if a player knows you truly care about them,
it's everything.
Really care about them, they'll follow you.
They will.
They'll follow you. I tell young leaders all the time, I said, before anybody's ever going to follow you in your leadership, there's three questions they're going to ask that have to be answered. The first question is, can I trust them? Are they a trustworthy person? Are they going to be consistent? Are they going to be a person of their word? Are they going to show me these signs that I can trust them? The second one is, do they really care about me as an individual? So the first one is a character question, really.
Yeah.
You've got to have a character. Second one's a compassion question. Do they really care about me, that compassion? And the third one is, do they have the ability to help me go to the next level? And do I see evidence that they're always trying to go to the next level? And I tell young leaders that. So when you're coaching, you know, you've got to be consistent in how you are with your players every day, and you got to model what you want them to be. You've got to be the culture if you want to establish the culture with them. And then I think that whole compassion element is, you've got to express that. And I tried to have a personal touch with every single player. I had 100 players on my team. I try to have a 100 personal touches. If you notice in games, in pregame warmups, you watch a lot of the coaches, they'll walk through the pregame warmups and touch every single player. They'll touch them on the shoulder pad, hit them on the head, slap them, you know, give them a high five, give them a grip. What are they saying? It's a touch of affirmation to every player. You matter. You matter to me. You matter to this team. You're going to matter in this game. And that's what coaches do. And I think that's the great thing. And the great coaches are great at that.
There's power in that. I remember interviewing Grace Ketterman, old pioneering psychiatrist. And she told me one time, she said, Tim, I believe, this is fascinating to me, that kids need 100 touches a day. In other words, you should reach out and, hey, make sure and let them know. Because it communicates proximity, but it also communicates powerful affirmation.
It's in my DNA so much as a coach. I have a problem because I'll walk up to men, total strangers. I don't even know them. And I'll hit them in the chest. I'm checking out your pecs. You've been working out. You've been lifting. I'm grabbing their arms.
I saw you trying to do that with Ray Lewis and Derek Brooks in here, man.
Hey, those guys are in shape, baby. Hey,
you bumping that. You bumping rock.
Yeah, you are. Those guys are in shape. But, no, I think that's something that, you know, men need that kind of affirmation, too.
Growing up, they didn't really receive a lot of that.
No. I tell you, how many men have never had a hug from their father? I had this guy one time come up to me, and he wanted prayer after service. And he was built like a double-wide trailer. I mean, this guy's big, okay? And I said to him, when I got done praying, I said, son, give me a hug. And he backed away from me. He pulled away from me, and I grabbed him. I reached in and went and grabbed him. Now, he's like a double-wide refrigerator or something. I mean, I couldn't get my arms all the way around him. And I made a mistake. I pulled him in, Tim, on me, and he dropped his head on my shoulder and started weeping like a baby. Wow. His wife's standing there, and she said to me, you're the first man that's ever hugged my husband. Not one man has ever hugged him in his life. And then his weight started to buckle my knees. I was about to go down. I thought he was going to pancake me, you know? So I got out of the grip. But I told him every week, this guy was in my church, every week, you wait right over here, son. When I walk out, I want a hug. And turn sideways so people can get by you. So he was over there. He's now in glory. But that shocked me and it also reinforced the fact how much men need other men to affirm them.
Hey, Coach, you know, as we go, what a fascinating discussion, and just love who you are, love your heart, love how God works in and through you. People want to learn more about you, the ministry. Where can they go?
GoChristFellowship.com.
GoChristFellowship.com.
Yeah, and they can reach everything we need there. We have the church, all the information, all of our information's there. And God is doing a great work in South Florida. But I tell you, Tim, I'm encouraged because I have a privilege now to do to be a mentor of a lot of young pastors across America.
I know you
and
do.
Across the world.
Yeah.
God is moving. There is a move of God right now happening across our nation.
I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, jumping in for a moment to let you know you're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. My guest today, Tom Mullins. He's a pastor, high school football coaching legend. And we want to make a pivot right here to bring you a little bit of Tom from the stage at Men's Ignite as he addresses those 5,000 men.
It says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. All he's ever looked for is somebody has a heart fully committed to him. It's a heart issue. It's not about how strong you think you are or not strong, or how gifted you think you are or not gifted, or how you compare yourself to somebody else. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with you and your heart with the Lord. And when your heart's fully committed, God will empower you to fulfill the mission. All right, one more football story. I got to tell you one more and I'm going to quit. I took over a high school team, my first coaching assignment out of college in Florida, and they had never had a winning season. So that's the one reason I got the job. And I take them over and I come in, and they only had like 20-some players the year before I got there. And I said, hey, I was out recruiting, man. I was out speaking. I was out doing and stuff. And I said, if you come, you work hard, commit yourself, you will dress for the games. So, man, they came. I looked at them. I lined them up athletically, the most athletic to the least athletic-looking kid, and started passing out equipment. We'd get 100 kids came out for practice. I got down to the last kid, the 100th kid. His name was Carl Pierce. Carl? Meet Carl Pierce. This little skinny kid, he was so skinny, unathletic looking, walked like a duck, came in. I said, son, what position you gonna play? He said, coach, I'm gonna be a wide receiver. I said, okay, wide receiver. He said, we got any wide receiver pads left? They said, coach, we've used them all up. We've used the JV pads, varsity pads, freshman pads. We've been borrowing pads from the Pee Wee League. We have nothing left. I said, we got to have something left. They said, oh, yeah, there's this one pair. They bring it out. We had this 300-plus pound defensive tackle the year before. Carl, I don't know if he weighed 100 pounds. And we put the shoulder pads down over him. They fell off of him. He stuck his arm up through the neck hole. And he says, aren't these a little big, coach? I said, no, son, you can catch the ball from any position. Don't worry about it. Put them in there. We put towels and taped them in there. And, you know, well, we only had one helmet left. You guessed it. He had a little old small head. And this kid had like an 8 3/4 or something, whatever, a big old head. We put 3 cheek pads on each side, took socks and stuffed them all around. No matter what you would do, when Carl would run, his helmet would turn, and his nose was out the ear hole. Well, there's only one pair of pants, you guessed it. His legs fit down one leg of the pants. No belts, use the shoestrings. Well, Carl had to hold his pants, do one-arm jumping jacks, or things would fall off of him. Everybody made fun of him, but he would not quit. So come up time for the first game, I had to dress him. So I said, son, here's the deal. You run out the very last one. We're going to get out, and we get in line. Don't move. Just stand there and hold your pants. So we're warming up, and he's standing there just holding his pants. You know, that was his thing, you know. Kids made fun of him. It was unbelievable. So we go play our first game, we win. Play our second game, we win. Play our third game, we win. We play our fourth game, we win. We're 4-0, undefeated. Now we've tied the best record of the school's history. We're 4-0. Now we're in our fifth game. Buddy, we're fighting. We're trailing the whole game. We're behind. Finally, about 2 minutes to go, we go to take the go-ahead touchdown. All we got to do is kick the ball off, hold them for one series, run the clock out. We're 5-0. We're going to get ranked. We're on our way to the state playoffs. I am pumped up. So we go to kickoff. Team goes out on the field. I had this guy named War Caesar Jakes, big old linebacker from Florida State, was on my staff. And he was in charge of special teams and defense. And they run out on the field, and as I would do, I'm counting. I said, coach, we only got 10 guys on the field. Get some out on the field. I said, timeout. The referee said, you have no more timeouts. And I hit War Caesar. I wasn't a pastor then. I hit him, boom. I said, get somebody on the field. And by the way, I have to look up at him, because he's a big man. I said, get somebody on the field. He turned without looking, grabbed the first body beside him and threw him on to the field. And my worst nightmare emerged as Carl Pierce goes on to the field. Carl has never run a play. He doesn't know where to line up. I don't know if he knows which direction to run. He's on the corner. He's a contained man. What are we going to do? They blew the whistle. They went running down. It looked like body parts were falling off of Carl as he was running down the field. Suddenly, there's a fumble at about the 25-yard line. The guys are hollering, fumble, fumble. Who's got the ball? Who's got the ball? Who's got the ball? I got it, coach. I got it. He comes running off the field with the ball. His helmet sideways. He's holding on his pants. He's got the ball. War Caesar Jakes is going, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We watched the game films. Carl ran down. This is no joke. The helmet had turned across. He couldn't see where he was going. And the running back ran into him and got tangled up in his pads. Yeah. Got tangled up in his pads. And then somebody speared Carl in the back and knocked him over onto the ball. Now, why do I tell you this story? I tell you this story because the devil lies to us and tells us that nothing fits, nothing's right, you're not equipped, you're not prepared. Don't listen to any of that. All God's looking for from you is a heart that's passionate after him. So grab up your stinking pants and run hard after God.
What an amazing testimony and wisdom from a strong man who has a heart for the Lord, Tom Mullins. I can't think of a better man to bring you to fire in the truth that honestly a lot of men don't hear enough. I'd love for you to pass this on. Share it with a friend. You never know who may be in search of a lifeline. Maybe a little encouragement to keep them out in the field. Thanks for joining us here on Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton. We love being a part of your life.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. On behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, we pray God's richest blessing on you and your family. Be sure to join us again next time, and don't forget to go to timclinton.com to contact us, tell us how we're doing, and maybe ask a question or two, or simply for more information on our resources and upcoming events. I'm Jim Kress. Thanks again for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.